So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and in Avodah Zarah, Lo Yasu Adam Bayis Tavnis Hechal Asadra Tavnis Ulam Chatzir Keneged Azara Shulchan Keneged Shulchan Menorah Keneged Menorah Aval Osehu Shal Chamesha Chamisha. In other words, a candelabra with five whatever's Vishal Shisha Vishal Shmona Vishal Shiva Lo Yasa Afilo Shal Sharmine Matchos, because they're kosher. The menorah is kosher, not just in gold, as they did in the times of the Chashmonaim. There's machlokas tanaim about what about wood. We paskin wood's okay because wood is a pasul menorah. And the Gemara says, how do I know this is aser? It's aser because the pasuk says lo sasu niti, which we interpret lo tasu kidmush shamshi. So these are mishamshim, and therefore they're included in this iser of lo sasu niti. It's very interesting because the Rambam doesn't paskin this din in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he paskins the other halachos of Lo Sasa Niti, but rather when the Rambam's discussing the dinim of Mayor Mikdash in Sefer Avodah, that's where he brings this up. Now, is there a nafkamina if it's a din in Mayor Mikdash relating to Avodah Zarah? Could be Avizrai was a nafkamina. We're not going to get into those dinim. Maybe a nafkamina would be if a guy made them for you. If we learned it out from Lo Yasa, Lo Sasa Niti, so then maybe it's only Nisar Asiya. Again, you know, Chshad you'd have to deal with. Masha Ein Kein, maybe if you say it's a din in Mar Mikdash, so maybe even having them is a violation of Mar Mikdash. If you buy them, it's a violation of Mar Mikdash. Not clear from the Rambam, but that's a possible something you would consider as a nafkamina. The Pischi Tshuva, again, these halachos, Shulchan Aruch are in Halachos Avodah Zarah, in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. Pischi Tshuva Sif Katan Yud Beis quotes a Tiferes Lamosha, who says that if a guy made them, it's mutter. Somebody made you a house in the same shape as the base of Mikdash, you could live there, or a menorah, or a shulchan, which is interesting. Perhaps another nafkamina, conceivably, could be Bnei Noach. If you learn like the Rambam, that Bnei Noach are mitzuveh on Lo Sasa Niti, and you think this is learned out from Lo Sasa Niti, now this is the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, so then maybe Gayim are also mitzuveh in this. Whereas if you learn that it's din of Mar Mikdash, and of course there's no din of Mar Mikdash for Gayim, that's not obvious. Even if you learn that out for Lo Sasa Niti, does that mean every single drasha from the pasuk would be carried over to Gayim? Not sure. So I don't know that would be a nafkamina, but it's a conceivable nafkamina. Maybe another nafkamina is Lislamid. If you learn it out from Los Asamiti, we know Lislamid is mutter. This is very relevant for like the Muzan Klea Mikdash. So why is it mutter? So the most obvious kula that they have is maybe that this is Lislamid. Whereas if you hold that it's a dinner Mura Mikdash, not obvious that there would be a din of Lislamid. Yesh Ladun, with Moshe, declares about that. He has that whole stickle terror about the Shem and the Mishkan and the like. But less obvious that there would be such a kula. Now, the Mizon Kele Mikdash says, no, our heter isn't Lislamid. Our heter is, we're building the Kele of the Mikdash. But that's a little more questionable. Who gave you the, who made you the Bailam? I guess they felt like, you know, Makom Shein Ish. I think there's two museums. Okay. Possibly another nafkamina. Now the big problem with the Rambam, of course, is where did he get it from? I mean, the great theory in the Rambam, but didn't the Gemara say that it's aser al osasaniti? Could be that the Rambam is a little bit lashitaso, as we know to the Rambam. Might have forgotten about the whole Shakra Vatari of the Gemara until the very end. And even though, as the other Rishonim point out, the Gemara didn't use a Lashon of Ella, so perhaps we hold of all these things, the Rambam may not have held of that Diuk. So then, how else are you going to explain a Braisa? So the Rambam said, well, if it's not going to be Atlo Sana Suniti, because that's a Havamina that was rejected, then I'll make up a better explanation for this din. And obviously, Mer Mikdash is more intuitive. There might be a raya from the Yushalmi. Brian sent out someone who argued you didn't send it? Oh, okay. That may be the Yerushalmi. Also sounds like the Maskana. It's not Aflo Sasaniti, but it's not so clear. Anyone find a more Mefurish Makor for the Rambam, or the Rambam just figured that if it's not, what else is it going to be if not this? Now, very interesting Hakira about this Isser with perhaps many, many Nafkaminas is what is the Gadir of the Isser? Is the Isser making something that seems like, looks like, resembles the Kalim or the Beis HaMikdash? Or is it have to be something that would conceivably be kosher? Is it B'mar Sa'ayin Talia Milsa or not? There might be certain possibilities in between, which we'll see. But as a basic question, the basic Hakira, that's one that we have to ask. So if you take a look at the Marik, which is cited in the Beis Yosef, Shoresh Ayin Hei, he tries to argue, based on his understanding of Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, that it's B'mar Sa'ayin Talia Milsa. It's not exactly the same. What's the right? If there's some resemblance, how do I know? Because one of the things the Gemara says is Achsadra Tachas Ulam. Now there's a problem. An Achsadra is a portico. It's parts Bimaluo. It's this type of thing that they had in Greek and Roman architecture. Sort of think of, I think, like, you know, the Capitol or the White House or something like that, where in the front there was this open space with columns, but no walls. Now, the ulam didn't look that way. So what does it mean that it's aser to make an achsadra tachas ulam? So the Marik cites Tosos in Rosh Hashanah as basically saying, yeah, but it's close enough that because, you know, the ulam had a big door, so it's sort of like an achsadra that's a very open space. And even though the ulam did have four machitzos and an achsadra only has three machitzos, nevertheless, close enough. Alma, he says, Divimar Sa'ayin Talia Milsa, even though it's not Dugmas Beis HaMikdash Mamish. And he says, based off of that, Achumra, says, you know what? You have a menorah that's not 18 Tvachim Tal, it's going to be Aser, as long as it's 7 Kamen. Now, first of all, that might not be the only way to read the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. The Chacham Tzvi has a different reading. Maybe we'll get to that in a moment. Second of all, it is interesting to note that Tosfos in our Masechta, namely Avodah Zarah, doesn't give that answer. He gives a fascinating answer, which is that, oh, you see from here that the ulam was parts below, right? Meaning it was fully open. There was no fourth wall, right? All the pictures that you've ever seen of the Beis HaMikdash, every one of those models, in a moment we'll talk about whether it's much if you have those models, but anyway, all of those models are all totally wrong, and it was actually Paritz B'Meluo. Now, Tosfos obviously held that it has to be Domeh Manish. Can't fudge it. But the Maharik, based off of Tosfos Rosh Hashanah, says no, you know, approximation is enough, which of course, you know, creates a very tricky question, which is, so what types of details are going to be willing to fudge? You know, which ones are critical and which ones aren't? Now, as I said, the Beis Yosef quotes this Maharik, and the Maharik himself notes that it could be that Rashi disagrees, because Rashi writes that what's the Isser when it's Ka'arko v'Rachvo v'Rumo? It has to be exactly the same thing. Alma deba'inan mamish dugmas mikdash. And the truth is, a number of Rishonim say a similar type of thing. The Meiri in Rosh Hashanah says, Beis HaMikdash v'Kelev ha'asolad ma'asos k'mosam alim kein mishanim behem ma'at. Lo yaseh. So now again, so what does that mean? Does that mean he held that it's that the achsadra was the ulam was part of the luo, like Tosfos and Avodah Zarah? It's an interesting question. or know that it's sufficient as long as the dimensions are identical, even if the wall structures are different, one way or the other. Though it does sound like other Rishonim might not hold of this Ma'arik, the Ma'arik concludes this way, and he thinks that's the view of Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the Ma'arik says it's aser to have a menorah that seven prongs, even if it's less than 18 or more than 18 tefachim. Now, you might come out, even if you disagree with the Ma'arik, with the same conclusion. The reason why a menorah that's not 18 tefachim tall is aser to make is because 18 tefachim is a ma'akev. And the Gemara tells us that if pratim are in ma'akev, then it's still aser, right? So just like you can, you know, you can make a bronze, it's aser to make a bronze menorah because a bronze menorah would be kasher because gold isn't ma'akev. So too, if 18 tefachim isn't ma'akev, which it isn't, so that should be aser as well. And that's what the Shach points out. That's what the Gra points out, that the reason why they agree with the conclusion of the Ma'arik, that less or more than 18 tefachim is aser to make, but seemingly not because of his reason, but rather simply because of the reason that the Gemara says, which is that since it would be kasher menorah, that's 18 tefachim is a makif, so that's why it's aser. Yeah.
The Ma'arik also have that sound?
He does. But the point, what's important about the Ma'arik is he has the other sound. There's Ma'arik makes that point as well, but when you look at the Shach and the Gro on this din, they just say that reason. They don't say the other reason. Based off of the Shach, the Rebbe Kiva Eger is medayik on the Gilyon of the Shulchan Aruch, that therefore, likewise, Gviim, if they are, even though the Shulchan Aruch, even though we paskin that you don't need Gviim and Kaftorim because those aren't Ma'akev, but the Rambam says they're only ma'akev if it's made out of another metal. If you make your metal out of your menorah out of bronze, then you don't need gviim. But if you make your metal out of gold, then you must have gviim. In which case, if you hold like the Shach's reason, it's going to be aser. It's going to be mutter to make a golden menorah without gviim. But if you hold like the Ma'arik, we don't know, but certainly you could argue, yeah, just leaving out some of the gvim, maybe it would still be aser. And he brings down that the Bechor Shor is machmir about the shayla. In other words, it's aser for gold, even if it is without gvim, and that would be al derech ma'arik. You could also have a reverse nafkamina. Possibly. What's the reverse nafkamina? Let's say, it's also discussed by the Achronim and the Pesach Tshuva, let's say you have a menorah with seven branches, but they're in a circle or a square or a triangle or something like that. So if you learn, like the approach of the Shach, we'll call it, that if it's kasher, b'mikdash, then it's aser, so there's going to be aser, because apparently, though this is discussed, but it would seem that the Achronim conclude that it's kasher b'mikdash even in a circle, b'di'avet. So therefore, it would be aser, because all we care about is kasher pasul b'mikdash, if it's kasher b'mikdash. Whereas if you take the approach of the Ma'arik, you could argue, this looks so unlike the menorah and the mikdash with a circular branches. Nothing at all. Nobody would ever like the Madama Milsa La Milsa. I'm a real halachic man, but you know, everybody else would see like a regular chandelier. They wouldn't think menorah b'mikdash. So that could be a reverse nafkamina. And here too, the Bechor Shor, L'shitasuk Wodin Pisle Tshuva Sifkatan Yudalid, is no telachme. The Bechor Shor actually thinks really we should be choshish for both tzadim in the Schakira. In other words, it's asher if it would be kasher, and it's asher if it resembles, even if it wouldn't be kasher. Now, perhaps the Shulchan Aruch maybe sounds against the Ma'arik because he quotes Rashi that you need mamish the midos, but not clear as we pointed out. Now, there's a very interesting psak of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Shuvos Salmas Chaim, cited by Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, I didn't have the Sefer, so I didn't look up what he said. I didn't have the Sefer either, so I didn't look up what he said, but hopefully somebody will look it up and find out what he actually said. But according, apparently, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld held that a model mikdash made out of clay is a problem. So Rav Moshe says that doesn't make any sense. What was Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld thinking? So maybe he was following the Ma'arik. Now, what does the Ma'arik have to do with this? So it goes like this. What's the reason why, if when it comes to the buildings, it has to be the exact dimensions? So Tosfos over there in Rosh Hashanah, which the Ma'arik is based off of, as well as the Gra quotes this, says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because if you don't have the exact dimensions, that Mehechatesi Tzdoma to the base of Mikdash. In other words, right, if my, every house has a bias or an ulam or whatever, right? So it's only Doma if the measurements are the same. Oh, so maybe if it's Doma in some other way, even though the measurements aren't the same, because it's a perfect scale model of the base of Mikdash, looks exactly like the base of Mikdash, it would still be Aser if you follow the approach of the Ma'arik. The only reason why Tosa says you normally for buildings it's Aser only if it's exact dimensions is because that's the only way it's going to resemble the base of Mikdash. Well, if it resembles the base of Mikdash, even without the exact dimensions, maybe it's still the Aser. So I don't know, but maybe maybe that's also a nafkamina. Lo nachon.
That's all
tshuva. Lo nachon. Okay. So. Okay. So maybe.
What was that?
Menachem looked up the tshuva, and all he says, he doesn't explain himself. He just says it's not right to do. So maybe this is the reason why it's not right to do. Okay. Another possible nafkamina. It's what?
As soon as the kavanah is dapa before the base of mikdash, meaning it's not exactly the same, but
same. Another possible nafkamina that comes up is an electric menorah. So first of all, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe really takes the approach of the shach and he goes with it. And he says, ad kedei kach, that he thinks that maybe if there wasn't enough, there was a menorah, perfect replica of the menorah, but the cups holding the oil were a little too small. They weren't big enough to last, have enough oil for the night, then maybe it wouldn't be asher. Right? He says, well, what about maybe if it's enough to last nights in the summer? So even though the din in the avoda is it has to be able to last a winter night, yeah. But lemaisa, it would be mutter, right? Certainly the menorah outside the Knesset, which has a flat top, would be mutter, right? Because there's no base kibul at all there. Now, Rav Avadia has a tshuva that I sent you. I don't know if I sent it out, but if I didn't, we'll try to send it out, about a menorah with electric lights, with light bulbs in it. As I mentioned, Pseik also has a shul with seven-pronged menorahs with light bulbs in them. And Rav Avadia is meiko. Why? Also, more or less, because of this point that there's no base kibul. Now, this is even more mechudish than maybe with Moshe, because if you take out the light bulbs, then there is a base kibul where the light bulbs don't. And, you know, probably if you filled that up with oil and put in a wick, there's enough oil for it to last the whole night. If you have a small enough wick. So that being the case, it's not, that's more of a chudish. Rav Avadia apparently must have thought that it's not bishleimuso. It's only bishleimuso when you have the light bulbs in it, which is interesting because I saw that one shul had this, so they took out the light bulbs, but that made things worse. Not the Pesach shul. Pesach shul has the light bulbs in it. Having the light bulbs in it makes it more mutter, not less mutter. But anyway, okay. Bezrim, we'll pick up on this topic tomorrow.
Time for a couple of questions?
Go ahead.
Number one, about what you were just talking about, how is it that the having, say, nine things which has similar structure to a seven-branched menorah?
If, nine if you things?
No. If you have a nine-branched candelabrum.
Yeah. Okay, nobody says that's Asher.
Right. But if you say, I'm just talking about the contrasting logic here. If you say only approximation is enough, like a portico.
Yeah, but the Ma'arik, you're right. The Ma'arik says approximation is enough, perhaps. but it has to be close approximation. And that's what I pointed out, that when you, if you accept the view of the Ma'arik, it's going to be hard to apply exactly which case. But in that case, the Gemara says explicitly that such a substantial difference that there's no Shaila that's mutter.
I would argue that was saying that if you say that the Ulam, assuming you had four walls, was like a portico, I think there's a much bigger difference between a 9-branch and a 7-branch. So I'm saying it backwards.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara says fakert. In other words, the Gemara says that 9 branches is mutter, but an achsadra is aser, because the achsadra has the same exact dimensions, even though the architecture is a little bit different, but adding an extra candelabra, adding an extra branch is aser. In other words, the difference is much more substantial.
So it's not at all right that it should be a portico. Okay, that was number one. Number two, I've long wondered. I know about all these different things here, but there's one thing which we worry for shul parochas, those places which have a double curtain, which you pull the string and it opens on both sides.
Yeah,
it's said to be not the way to do it, because it's not like the parochas in the Beit Hamikdash.
I never heard anyone say that. Rav Moshe says you shouldn't do it that way. He's talking about kosher d'malchus, but he says that's not the minhag to do it that way. But that's not the reason that he says.
I
put down the middle just because that's not the minhag.
All right, so anyway, I was given to understand that one shouldn't do it that way because it is unlike the way the Beit Hamikdash had it.
I've never heard that.
Okay, all right.
As I said, from Rav Moshe, it doesn't sound that way.
Okay.
That's not his objection, at the very least.
Let's see, there was maybe one other question I had. Let me think. This is more of a comment or suggestion, not a question. Perhaps Chita, that you have to have exact dimensions as in the Beit Hamikdash is motivated by being similar to the Easter of Ketores or Shemana Mishcha, where the Easter is only making the exact proportions even though it's a lot of different origins. There's a explicit law in the Torah, not Mora Mikdash, but if you want to say they're similar.
Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. This year. Zionism, have a great day.
Amen. Tomorrow 12:30 again?
Probably.
Okay. Okay, call two.